You're listening to Irish Sports Talk.
Hello, Nordheim fans, and welcome to Irish Sports Talk. This is episode 373, and it is National Signing Day, so we're here to talk about what everyone's been talking about, Nordheim's latest no longer just commits and recruits, but now they're signed. They've signed their letter of intent. So one step closer to playing football at Notre Dame. So we'll go through each of the different position groups, give our thoughts on that, and we may... There may also be some other stuff. I'm not sure if there's other topics, Randall, that you had set up that you wanted to talk about.
Not really. There's just a couple. We might mention the position switches that the Notre Dame coaches are talking about, a couple guys. But other than that, it's recruiting. It's a big day at Notre Dame. Some people think it should be a national holiday. So
I actually had to put my phone on Do Not Disturb because I was getting so many notifications. And I used it that way I left it that way the whole day.
Yeah. I tried to get as much ready beforehand or last night as I could because it's definitely a busy morning once the recruits, no longer faxes, once they sign their letters. You know, we always, every other year we talk about how the, you know, the fax machines, and it used to be they had issues with the fax machine and blah, 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 but... They do use the, if you're wondering how they do it, they do use a Sign Now app, which you might have seen pictures of some of the recruits today. They actually sign on an app, and it's,
legally it works.
Yeah. So they're getting around that old equipment that's hung around for so long.
I wonder, when do you think fax was first invented? I'm thinking it was probably 81. But maybe it was way before that.
I have no idea. That's before I was born, so I can't tell you.
I'm just going to look it up.
They've been around my entire life. But Notre Dame definitely did good with this class. I mean, there was no last-minute decommitments, no drama. The excitement, you know, any breaking news was all good for Notre Dame. Or, you know, there was a couple guys that they were still... trying to get, you know, that ended up not signing with Notre Dame, but they picked up three commitments today, which is a record for Brian Kelly at Notre Dame on signing day. The last time he had multiple commits on signing day was 2015 when EQ and then Dexter Williams announced on signing day. Basically, Notre Dame, it came down to four guys. Notre Dame was still in the running for four guys. They got three of those. One, Russ Yeast, which was the in-state player, decided to stick with Louisville. And did you find the fact?
Yeah, I guess it's been around longer than I thought. It was first worked on and invented in 1843.
What?
As far as sending an image over a wire.
Okay.
So it's been around for a while.
Impressive. I would have never guessed that long.
Yeah, and it wasn't widely used, but that's when it first was invented.
Well, and seemed like it hung around way too long when it came to recruiting.
Yeah, I didn't find out when it became more popular as far as it being in everyone's home, or if you wanted it, you could have it in your home. But it's definitely been around way too long. All right. So, yes, we're going to look at each of the each position group, the commits we got in that whole situation. You mentioned that Notre Dame was in the running for four guys, and they got three of them. So they did better than I expected. I was hoping for three. When Notre Dame,
you mean the last couple of weeks, two weeks?
Yeah, the last 2 weeks. I was hoping for three more, and we got six more.
Yeah.
So
– Well, about the middle of January, Mike Elston admitted that he thought they might not get another commit this cycle. It seemed a couple of guys had decommitted. They were down to 15 total commits. But in the last couple of weeks here, 2 weeks basically, the staff has put in a lot of work. And out of nine guys that they had visit Notre Dame, they got six commitments. So that's a very high percentage. the other guy, like I mentioned, Russ East stayed with Louisville. And then Matt Kippenham was the other Indiana guy. He did stay with Penn State, I mean, which we've known that for a little while now. But, yeah, it ended up pretty good.
And just in case you're wondering, Notre Dame did finish, according to Rivals, at number 13 in the class. I'll give you the top five. Alabama at one, Ohio State, Georgia, Michigan, Florida State. And then just teams of interest. USC, I guess, was at six. Trying to see if any other. Stanford was at 18. Clemson at 21, you know, if you're interested.
That's the odd one. They actually don't even have that many recruits. I forget what the...
They have 14.
14, and they just won the national championship.
14 total. Now, they do have a decent amount of five stars.
I don't know what the situation is. Maybe they were limited as far as scholarship numbers, but they're kind of quiet on the recruiting coming off a national championship.
That is really strange. So. Texas, another big name, was 28th, which I believe I heard on the radio that this was the first year they didn't get a top 10 in-state commit.
Yeah. I mean, they usually do pretty good in Texas, so.
Michigan State, 30th.
Well, there's a one of the guys on the forums posted an article, I think it was from SB Nation, but it just talked about, like, if you look at the basically the top two class, I mean, your rankings, ranking the classes in a two-year span, combining them.
Two and then 5 years, too.
It's almost more about, basically we're talking about the myth of signing day, you know, the rankings and all that, but schools that you would never imagine, Michigan State, they made the playoffs, you know, a year ago, Oregon or another, I mean, these are some big-time schools that have made the playoffs, have done very well, but their recruiting classes are not ranked very high at all. So it's a lot of it does have to do with the coaches and developing the players you get.
Yeah, and more, I think scheme is important, but I think it's more about player development and coaching. And this is kind of what Brian Kelly's been preaching about being a good teacher so that your kids can understand – number one, what they're supposed to do, and number two, doing it fundamentally.
Yeah, and, you know, you still have Alabama, which is just, as they say, an embarrassment of riches. I mean, they just basically get whoever they want. Their running back, the number one overall player, Najee Harris, he's going to be a star there at Alabama. They can basically, it seems like they can take any running back and make a star, and here they get the number one overall player. And
maybe that's the relation.
But today they got another commitment from like a four-star defensive end, but they're going to grayshirt him. Like, they're getting guys that know they're not going to play right away, and they're still picking Alabama over other schools. These are highly ranked guys. But I don't think we had mentioned it last week. We were going to, and never did, but somebody, I think it actually comes from USC Forum, but somebody put together a list of the
there were pictures from different social media.
Yeah, they took the pictures off of social media that the Alabama players posted, and it's pictures of their vehicles. It's pretty insane. They all have drive very, very,
maybe
very
they
nice
all come
vehicle.
From wealthy families, Randall.
Oh, I'm
why
sure
do you
they do.
Why do you always just jump on this
I'm sure they do. I think Alabama, after seeing that, I'm convinced that Alabama just recruits wealthy kids.
Yeah.
That's got to be it. But it's surprising that the NCAA isn't checking this because they checked into much front. It's infuriating that you see something like that, but then Notre Dame, you know,
does it the right way.
Does it the right way and gets exactly. Yeah. It's irritating.
Well, since we were talking about Alabama getting all these kids, you know, even though they're not going to play, there's still very high caliber kids going there. Brian Kelly talked a little bit about, you know, why do kids come to Notre Dame? And I think that he said this was kind of their message the last few weeks as they're trying to close out the class. And they're looking for kids who, number one, they want a degree, and two, they want to win a national championship. Not necessarily in that order, but those are two things that they want. Those were kind of the kids that they were targeting, especially to close out this class, was making sure that that's what they were looking for, because that's what they're offering, Randall. I know they'll come through on at least one of those. And no, I'm pretty optimistic, but it is the off season. It's the time to be optimistic.
Exactly. We're getting excited about a season that's still a ways off. I think we're getting close to 200 days. Brian Kelly's son does tweet out the day, every day he sends out a message, the countdown. So I think we're like at 213, 14, somewhere in there.
Wow. It takes forever to get back to the season, but once we're in the season, it seems like it goes on forever.
The season?
Yeah.
I don't think it does. It all of a sudden, well, like the season starts.
This season felt like it went on forever.
True.
Okay, let's get back.
One more thing I want to throw in from other schools. The best name of the day, I mean, for a recruit, goes to a Louisville commit, I guess.
Did you confirm? Is this a real name for sure?
They've got his recruiting profile and everything. I didn't do a lot of digging, but supposedly it's Kobe Buffalo Meat. So check it out. There's questions about whether it's real or not, but they have a whole recruiting profile and everything. I know one of the other ones, there's a kid from Texas called Bumper Pool. We've talked about him before. But there's some weird names out there. But just thought I'd throw that in there.
All right. Let's start with the offense. Starting with our quarterback.
So Notre Dame's doing a good job getting a quarterback every year. So,
and I also wanted to look at what the situation is like. So obviously Brandon, we have a redshirt sophomore in Brandon Wimbush, and then Ian Book after him with 4 years of eligibility remaining. He redshirted last year as well, and so on the other hand, Brandon Wimbush, he could leave next year.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't expect that at all. But it's good. Yeah, Notre Dame picked up another good caliber kid, Avery Davis. Notre Dame had interviews with the different position coaches, and they talked about the different players that were coming into the class, but also kind of the position as a whole sometimes. And so Tommy Reese was there being interviewed. And one thing he talked about with Avery Davis is his mobility and his footwork in the pocket is really solid. And I was impressed with Tommy Reese. Remember, I was a little bit concerned. I am optimistic, or I believe that he gets the mental part of it and understanding and reading the defense. But as far as some of the mechanics, that I don't know.
Yeah.
I just don't know. But he did talk a lot about footwork, and when he was talking about Ian Book, he talked about how he's also got great feet and a quick, tight release on the ball. So he's at least talking about those things.
your expectations are too low, Ruben. Avery Davis is obviously a shorter quarterback. I mean, he's 5'11". He's listed at 192. But the big thing Brian Kelly said that he liked is that he excels in big games. He's big game pedigrees, he said, and he played in championships, I mean state championships, and that's when he does good. He puts up crazy numbers in some of those big games. It's not like he kind of fades out when the spotlight is brightest, but he's done very well in those games. And now he's very athletic, so, you know, and being shorter quarterback, he relies a lot on his athleticism. And so his passing will have to improve. I mean, he played in the Under Armour game, and in that game, his passes were kind of weren't the best passes. So that's definitely something that's worked. But he's very athletic, and he doesn't let his size affect him. And he's not scared to go up and compete against taller quarterbacks in the camps and stuff. There was a little bit of a scare, you know, when Mike Sanford left Notre Dame. Obviously, that's who would have recruited him, would have been his position coach. And then Baylor came in and offered him. Originally, Avery Davis, I think he kind of looked at the Texas schools, but all the big Texas schools had their quarterback, and so he wasn't getting those offers from them. But then Baylor did come in and give him an offer, but he stayed true to Notre Dame. I mean, he's obviously coming to Notre Dame for the school, because Tommy Reese actually wasn't hired until last week, or it wasn't official until last week, so he didn't even know who his position coach would be until just in the last couple of weeks. But I think people kind of don't expect much out of him just because of his size, smaller quarterback, and maybe not as highly touted as some of the others were. But I think he's a guy that, you know, can compete at Notre Dame.
Yeah. Especially if Wimbush doesn't stay for all of his eligibility, you know, if he would leave after 2 years of playing.
Well, you got to remember, if Wimbush does have an injury, you know, we're going to have to have some of these quarterbacks are going to have to play. So
yeah. More about Tommy Reese. He was asked to kind of self-evaluate himself as a coach, and he said, "You'll like this." He said he's very demanding and competitive, and he wants to make the quarterback room very competitive, and he believes that doing that will help make it easier for whoever the starter is on Saturday. So I like that. I like competition. I like being competitive and keeping guys engaged. And it's going to be tough, you know, potentially to keep an Avery Davis or maybe an Ian Book or someone who, you know, is clearly not the starter and is kind of competing for the backup job to be engaged. But that's what he's going to expect a lot, demanding.
Well, Avery Davis can run, and I mean, Avis can run the ball, and Tommy Reese should be able to help him with that too. I mean, he can at least run from the cops. So. The bad thing with Tommy Reese, we know too much about his playing days.
Well, this will interest.
He is now a coach.
This will interest you. You talked a little bit about maybe the guy's joking around with some of the calls, like maybe trying to, you know, tell him that, oh, this is what this call means, but it means something else. And he said the offense hasn't changed that much. He knows all the calls, and he came up with he created some of the calls as well.
Oh, nice.
Which surprised me that it stayed the same that much, which he would have been here in 2013. So I guess it's only been a few years, I guess.
Yeah.
It just seems like a lot longer. All right, let's move on then from quarterback to running back. C.J. Holmes committed to the Irish, and Notre Dame had two guys who aren't running backs anymore in Folston and in the Indiana kid. Justin Brandt. I mean, oh. I know, not. Justin Brent probably wasn't really in the picture, but Folston definitely would have been. So C.J. Holmes comes in here, and Brian Kelly compared him to Riddick and to C.J. Procise, so a guy who could play running back or receiver, a guy who can catch the ball. So,
well, a lot of guys have – we hear a lot of comparisons to C.J. Procise. And, yeah, he's 6 foot, 200 pounds, and he can play running back and wide receiver. So that's why they have Brian Kelly said they actually had special packages for him, and they expect him to compete right away, which was kind of surprising to hear. But he's an early enrollee, so he's already at Notre Dame. He's working out. He's involved in all that. And, yeah, I mean, earlier it seemed like there wasn't much room at running back for him maybe to get some playing time. But if he does have, you know, as a threat as wide receiver too, I mean – as I say with running backs, if they're good running backs, they'll play early a lot of times,
mm-hmm.
because running backs don't have a long life if they go on to the NFL. So
yeah.
But yeah, four-star recruit. I'm excited to see what he can do. I mean, people are raving about him, so.
I was going to look up who else was going after him. And so these are some schools that offered him would have been Alabama, Michigan State, Penn State, so Tennessee.
And he already committed to Notre Dame in July of last year, and it's come from Connecticut. But he's been committed to Notre Dame for a while, and so that kind of slowed down his recruiting process. And then some of these guys have been committed for a long time, so... You almost forget about them. There's not a lot of drama around them, not a lot of stuff going on, so you almost forget about them sometimes that they're even part of the class.
Mm-hmm. All right, next, offensive line. Notre Dame had a couple couple here. Aaron Banks, Dylan Gibbons, Robert Hainsey, and Josh Lugg.
Dylan Gibbons has been committed to Notre Dame for a long time. It's been almost 2 years. He was the first commit. He committed on April 4th, 2015. So he committed to Notre Dame, and he didn't waver from that. He knew right away where he wanted to go. And he's 6'4", 311 pounds from Clearwater, Florida. He's listed as a three-star. He said that he'll be a guy playing. He'll start playing in inside, you know, but he can also move outside if you have to. But he'll start playing inside. And he did play in high school. He did play both sides of the ball. So he also played on defense, which I kind of like to see that. Sometimes when they play both sides of the ball, they know. They've gone up against other offensive linemen. I like to see that when a high school lineman has played both ways, just because I think it gives them, expands their knowledge of the game. But looking at all these offensive linemen, they're big guys.
Yeah.
And Heastan was asked, you know, are these guys too big? What's too big? Or, you know, what size do you want them? He said these guys are right where they want them to be. They'll come to Notre Dame, and they'll see, you know, start working out, doing training and stuff, and see where they should be as far as should they put on more weight. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see. We kind of, you know, fuss about the size of some of the offensive linemen. I mean, they look pretty slim on the offensive line. But
these guys...
These are some big guys.
At least they are, but at least if their weight's accurate here, they'll all be 300-plus pounds.
Close.
And I guess Dylan Gibbons is 311 now, according to 24/7, but I don't know how accurate that is.
Go ahead.
I was just saying, Aaron Banks, yeah. A couple of these kids are 6'7". Aaron Banks and Joshua Lugg.
Well, Josh Lugg, 6'7", 293 pounds, four-star recruit. He's one of the higher-ranked guys in this class. He's from Pennsylvania, and Heastan said he'll start playing at tackle. I mean, that's where he fits. I mean, obviously with his size, he's used to playing outside, and he was also a long-time commit.
He had committed in August of 2015.
Yeah, so he's been committed for a long time as well. And then looking at next at Robert Haynes, he's the other guy. He's listed at 6'4.5", 276, and he'll start more at the guard. He'll start inside, start training there. And he was actually, Heastan talked about how it's easier for him to adjust to the college life. He is an early enrollee, but he did go play at IMG Academy. He was from Pennsylvania, but he did move down to Florida and play down there at IMG. And so he's actually helping the other guy, like Aaron Banks, you know, he's helping him out adjusting to college life and these other early enrollees because
he kind of had the experience a little bit.
He's almost a year ahead in that in
definitely
that situation.
Yeah, four very, very solid offensive linemen for Notre Dame.
Well, he's another four-star guy.
Which is what we've come to expect. I mean, if Notre Dame's not pulling in at least a couple, you know, three offensive linemen, you know, at least that many.
Well, and then Aaron Banks, 6'7", 315 pounds, another four-star guy. He'll start training at tackle, so you got two tackles and two guards.
And I didn't watch film of everyone, but I did watch some film of Aaron Banks, and you definitely can see, I mean, he still needs to grow a little bit into his body.
He's a huge kid.
I know. He just needs to learn how to, needs to learn how to maneuver that a little bit better.
But they talked about his footwork. I mean, he's an early enrollee, and he played basketball in high school. So they said he has good footwork for a guy his size, which playing basketball helped with that. So they did say that he is has good footwork for a guy
that big.
Well, that big, and being a freshman will be a freshman this next year.
But the offensive line class, even with Colin McGovern moving on, I mean, it will be surprising if one of these freshmen
I expect all of them to redshirt this year. But that is some serious talent that I think all four of these guys will be playing at some point. And they were the first guys. Once again, it seems like offensive linemen are the first ones to get their letters in to Notre Dame. And so Harry Hiestand's the first assistant coach that the media talks to. And when they kind of ask him about that, you know, that they're the first guys to have their letters in there. And he's like, they'd better have him here. Like, he's already pushing them.
He demands them, and they love him.
Yeah.
Okay, tight ends. Two of the top tight ends in the country. I mean, number two and number three nationally, at least according to 24/7.
Brock Wright. He's been committed. I think he was the second commit to Notre Dame, right after Dylan Gibbons.
Yeah, I got it right here. End of June in 2015.
And 6'4.5", 243. He's an all-around tight end. He can catch. He can block. I mean, he can do it all.
Even in his high school film, they threw him screen pass. So, yeah, he's definitely he can run with the ball. And this is a guy. Remember, we were kind of talking about tight ends. I think he led his. He was second in high school on his team. Second in yards.
Receiver.
I think he'll be second in the tight end group in yards
this year.
This year.
Wow.
In yards. Maybe not in catches, but in yards, I think he'll be the second leading tight end.
Well, I had expected that. He's an early enrollee, so he's at Notre Dame already, which will definitely help his case to get some playing time next year. Before the staff changes, I expected both these tight ends to redshirt. But Chip Long uses two tight ends on 60% of the plays. So we're down to five tight ends, scholarship tight ends now. So there's a good chance, and especially since he's an earlier enrollee, I think this is a guy that could maybe get on the field. I'll have to change my mind on that. But
Cole Kmet, though, another really solid. I mean, yeah, another top tight end. So
Brock Wright, as far as leadership, he was a captain at the Under Armour All-American game. I mean, they voted him on as a captain, so he's even got leadership skills there. But Cole Kmet, another guy, 6'5". He's listed at 230, but they said he's up to 250 right now. And he's had to learn to be a blocker. I mean, before his senior year, he was basically a receiver. But he has learned to block.
Did he play at all on defense?
I'm not sure about that. His senior year, he had 50 catches for 802 yards, and they would throw to him in double coverage because when he goes up to get the ball, he gets the ball. I mean, he reaches out over defenders and gets the ball. I mean, he's definitely a pass catching.
These are athletes. Yeah, these are athletes.
Yeah. And he also plays baseball, throws a 90-mile-an-hour fastball. So I don't know if he's going to try for the baseball team at Notre Dame, but that's something he could do. But I expect him to be good enough on the field that he doesn't have to worry about trying to play baseball.
Being from Illinois in the Midwest, he was recruited mostly by Big Ten schools, Michigan, Michigan State, Northwestern, Ohio State, and Wisconsin, Minnesota were after him. But he did pick the Irish, and I'm glad he did. Okay, next up, wide receivers.
Well, for a while it looked like Notre Dame might just end up with one wide receiver, which was Michael Young, 5'11", 175, three-star receiver from Louisiana. It's not like Notre Dame doesn't get, well, Jerry Tiller was from Louisiana, but LSU often does a good job with the Louisiana guys, but Notre Dame did get this guy. And Brian Kelly said he has skills to compete at the slot right away. And he even mentioned that he could take snaps at running back if they need him to, which I don't know why they need him to, but just to mix things up, who knows what they're going to do with all the play calling this year, but they could do that. And he might be good at running back because his uncle is one of his uncles is Joseph Addai, who's a running back for the Colts. Helped
really?
Them win a Super Bowl. So that is his uncle. So maybe that's why they're talking about using him at running back.
But both these guys, I mean...
Well, Jafar Armstrong is the other one, the other wide receiver they just picked up this last week.
Wait, which one is Adai's nephew? Young.
Michael Young. Okay. Yeah. Jafar Armstrong is the other wide receiver, 6'1", 205. He's a bigger guy, but they also mention him as being a guy that could play the slot. He can play inside or outside. He's fast, which we had mentioned when we talked about him on the podcast last week. He's fast. You know, he won state titles in track, 100-meter, 200-meter. And Notre Dame did actually get him to flip from Missouri. He was committed to Missouri, and then just this last weekend... Or he had visited Notre Dame, then he decommitted from Missouri and signed with Notre Dame. So, definitely more speed. And he is from Kansas, so Midwest guy.
Right, and Notre Dame has had, you know, decent success with three-star wide receivers as far as, I think the offense...
Kevin Stefferson.
I think they look for speed or natural abilities and then coach him up the rest of the way. I don't know. All right, that's...
Yeah, we look at the starter rankings, but I put less and less stock in that.
I do, too. I still think it's a valid... Who else has offered these kids?
It's a lot easier to get excited about a five-star. But...
Yeah, no, but look at who all has offered, you know, this certain commit. I think that's a very good sign, because you know that these other staffs have also evaluated them and think that they would like to have them on their teams. Now, even though they offer, it doesn't mean that they're going after them hard, but it still means they're interested.
I kind of agree with you, but at the same time, we talked about it Monday, once one big school offers, a lot of other big schools did. So it's almost like they have all
what
big offers or
do you know
none
that,
of them.
Do you know that for sure?
Yeah, I mean, as soon as Notre Dame offers, they started getting offers from other schools.
For real?
Yeah, and some of it is, you know, just school, maybe they didn't really look at him, and you're like, hey, if... Clemson is looking at it. We better take a look at him as well.
Yeah.
Things like that. And so, I mean, if you know, it does come down. There's hundreds and hundreds of recruits. And, you know, for staff to keep track of everybody, you know, it does catch your eye when certain schools do offer.
Mm-hmm. One thing I had forgotten to mention on the tight ends, Chip Long had said that it is probably the second hardest position to learn or to play on the offense. And part of it is because of the tempo that they play at. And then they like to change formations without substituting. And so often that means the tight end will be playing at a different position without a substitution. So he might be kind of in the halfback position, or he might be out at the W, or I'm not sure how much they'd move him around, but definitely get them in different position groupings to try to create some mismatches for the defense. So on defense, starting with the defensive line, and this was one, I know Notre Dame's got a lot of bodies there, but I was still just, I think Notre Dame should take as many defensive linemen as they can, even though I think it is more with development and coaching than it is with finding a really talented player. I think just development and coaching is a bigger part of it. But they did pick up a couple defensive linemen. Kurt Heinisch from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 6'2", 283. So looks maybe a little bit undersized right now. I don't know. What do you think, Randall?
Well, he's a three-star guy, and I think the reason he is because he is undersized. I mean, he's... interior guy, more of a defensive tackle, but he is undersized, and so I think for him to compete at this level, he has to be very precise in everything he does. It's not like he's, you know, we're used to seeing like Jaron Jones inside. I mean, his arms are a mile long, or you know, we saw Sheldon Day. I mean, his speed. You know, that first step, you know, it was insane. So this guy, I think that's why he is he's ranked a little bit lower, just because he is a little undersized. But, you know, we've seen other guys, I mean, Cage wasn't necessarily, you know, this long, lanky interior.
Yeah, but
guy
Cage
too.
was but huge. He's just,
yeah. So he is a teammate of David Adams, one of the linebackers. But he did play both sides of the ball in high school, and one of the words that you see when he's being described is violent. Like, he just – very intense player.
Does he play with a high motor?
Yes. And so whether he's going after the quarterback or he's blocking for the quarterback, I mean, he's just going all out. He did visit – just in the last couple weeks, would it be 2 weeks ago. And so he helped, you know, obviously he's committed. And so some of the guys that were on campus that weren't committed, Wardlaw, Genmark Heath, you know, some of those guys, even he's, Russ Yeast was there, I think. He helped recruit them, told them, you know, what he saw in Notre Dame. And, so he helped, recruit those guys. He did have double-digit sacks his senior year, so he did get quite a few sacks. But yeah, we'll see what he can do at Notre Dame.
All right, another interior defensive lineman, Darnell Yule. This is a 4-star, 6'4", 295 pounds, and this is a guy that Brian Kelly said is physically ready to play.
Well, when we talk about these linemen, this is the guy that ever since he committed. Everybody's been talking about how he can come in and compete right away. With how the defensive line is looking right now, this is a guy that'll be able to compete right away as a freshman. And like you said, he's physically ready, which is a huge thing. He's a big guy, but he was on the swimming team in high school. So just because of his size, he always has some speed in the pool. But he came... He picked Notre Dame over Ohio State, Alabama, Clemson, Michigan, and I think he took a visit to Ohio State about the same time he had visited Notre Dame, and he just knew right away he wanted to go to Notre Dame. I mean, obvious choice to him. And obviously works out a lot in the weight room. Brian Kelly said he's a guy you always pick first in gym class. He can put up some crazy numbers, bench pressing, and so, yeah, physically I think this is a guy – that could get some playing time this year as a true freshman.
All right, and then we've got Jonathan McCostro, which we had an interview with him on the previous podcast episode. You can listen to that. And he talked a little bit about how his recruitment went and how – or kind of where he projects, where the coaches are telling him he'll fit in the defense. But just briefly, he's 6'4", 238 pounds. So he needs to put on some weight. At least if that number is accurate, which I'm guessing is probably a little bit low. But he's projected out as that rush end, the guy who might drop into coverage.
Don't say that.
Well,
that irritates some fans.
Those were his words.
Yeah.
And then depending on how big he gets, if he puts on weight and gets so closer to 270, 280s, then he'll probably move over to the strong defensive end.
Well, I think there's more room for guys like this. I mean, with this type of defense, Notre Dame is getting quite a few of these tweeners that I think fit into this style of defense, Elko's defense. So he was a teammate of Parker Boudreau, and coming up here from Florida, coming up to the cold weather, but he doesn't seem to mind.
And here, just to throw this out, he was Auburn, Ohio State, Mississippi State, Michigan State, Pitt. So he had some decent offers out there for sure. All right, and then the commit from today, Myron Tagovailoa-Amosa.
Hey, that sounded great. That sounded like you've been saying it for months.
Brian Polian, you can watch these videos on YouTube from Notre Dame that they put out, but he said that this reminded him of when Manti Te'o committed, I guess, because I know that he committed on signing day, but it was kind of like that too. This isn't, you know, this isn't Manti Te'o, but it was still a late push to get him. Brian Polian visited him. I mean, he didn't have much time. He had a couple weeks.
Well, the crazy thing with that, I mean, Polian flew to Hawaii to visit him. And then Polian is also the recruiter Notre Dame had that helped get Teo to Notre Dame. So I'm guessing when they figure out the map for the recruiting, which guys will be covering what area, I'm guessing Hawaii will be on Polian's list. So
yeah, I'm sure.
He's doing a good job. Well, with him, they said that the Notre Dame staff, you know, didn't really know much about him, and then they saw him in the tunnel at the USC game, and they wanted to know who he was and started looking at his film, and that's when they started recruiting him. So he's 6'4", 270, three-star guy, defensive end. He did pick Notre Dame over Vanderbilt. That was kind of – it came down to that. I mean, USC was in the mix, obviously, but it kind of came down to Notre Dame-Vanderbilt. His senior year, he had 34 tackles for loss and 18 sacks.
Wow. And like you said, he is a defensive end, but Brian Polian said that if he possibly, likely will probably put on weight to maybe get up to 315 pounds. And, you know, if that would happen, they'd move him inside somewhere. But, yeah, you could see him move around, but they were very – Notre Dame was happy to get this kid.
The other defensive lineman that Notre Dame got a commitment from today was Kofi Wardlow, defensive end and linebacker. He's kind of that tweener right now, but, I mean, he could grow into – I mean, he might just end up being a full-time defensive end, but he's kind of a raw player. He's only played 2 years of football and only started his senior year. But in his senior year, he had 84 tackles, 28 tackles for loss, and 9.5 sacks. And he had been committed to Maryland, but he decommitted. Came and visited Notre Dame and ended up committing to Notre Dame today. And he actually called Brian Kelly while he was in the... I think it was Owusu that called. One of them called during the press conference. Well, he committed during the press conference, okay, too. There was two commitments during Brian Kelly's press conference. But three-star guy, 6'2.5", 230 pounds, but three-star that hasn't played a lot of football. So if he would have played 4 years like all these other guys, he probably ranked a lot higher.
All right. Moving on to linebackers. Notre Dame received their commitment for David Adams, signed with the Irish from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Four-star. Just watching a little bit of his highlight film, he definitely looks like he's a step faster, and he gets off blocks really quickly. And you know how sometimes you see defenders kind of running parallel with the ball carrier, and you just wish that they would just take that next step to get to the ball carrier, but they just can't quite do it. Well, he just flies through his own defense to get to the ball carrier. Yeah. Kind of reminiscent of, remember Jalen Smith, I'm not at all comparing his athleticism to what Jalen Smith had, but definitely that ability to get around blockers and maneuver around his own defense if needed to get to the ball carrier.
Well, staff's definitely very high on him. They even mentioned him as featured captain material. That's been thrown out there. I mean, he is a leader. And he actually he played in the Under Armour All-American game, and that's when it came out that he was actually playing with quite a few injuries his senior year. I think in the first game of the year, he tore a muscle in his shoulder or something. So he played his entire season, senior season, with injuries. He is having surgery on his labrum, and I don't know how long that'll keep him out. I mean, it takes a little while to recover from that. But he's a guy that will definitely be playing linebacker at Notre Dame.
And he had a ton of offers.
I think he had 32 offers total.
Yeah, I mean, there's a ton on here. So I guess he projects as an inside linebacker. I don't put too much emphasis on that. But I think it's a good he's a good athlete, definitely. But I'm just not sold on inside linebacker. Okay, next up, Notre Dame also signed Drew White from Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 6'1", 225, another inside linebacker. You know, had offers from Wisconsin, Ohio State, Stanford, Michigan, LSU,
and he's rated as a 3-star, and part of the reason that ranking is lower because he didn't compete in the camps that a lot of the other players did, which shouldn't matter because they should go by what you did in high school instead of the camps. But they kind of like the camps because, you know, you're going up against good competition in the camps. But that's why they say his ranking is lower. He was first team All-State player in Florida. So obviously very good player, and we've been getting quite a few players out of Florida, so we know there's a lot of talent down there. There's another guy that they say is captain material. So you got two linebackers that are looked at as future captains. With him, he's, you know, you talked a little bit about it with David Adams, but Drew White, he's very instinctive, and it seems like his time, he always has the timing right. Like, he's always there at the ball. He gets through the line at the right time. I mean, he's blocked some kicks in high school. It's that instinct. I think he's going to be a really good player just because he can read the offense, and it looks like he'll be a good blitzer because he knows how to time. I mean, he's good at that timing part and when to get through the line, when to jump over the line. He's done that. I mean, he can run too. I mean, he can run down running backs. So you can see some of that in his film. So definitely a good linebacker there.
And then the third linebacker and the third commitment Notre Dame did receive today, Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah, another 3-star guy. He's from Hampton, Virginia. And this, go ahead.
Well, he's a guy that is projected to be that rover in Elko's defense. And that's maybe why some schools weren't as interested because, you know, he's kind of in between a safety and a linebacker. He's one of those tweeners. But he fits perfectly into that role. I mean, he's been recruited as a rover. So this is the guy, if you want to know what type of guys they want for the rover, if you watch his film, this is what they're looking for.
Size-wise, he's 6'2", and just a shade under 200.
And he had been committed to Virginia, ended up decommitting and switching to Notre Dame. And even though he's going to be playing defense, he led the 5A schools in Virginia in receiving yards last year. So it's good to see that when a defensive player, I like a defensive player that has ball skills that can still catch the ball because I always think interceptions. So we even talked to McAllister about that last year. I mean, he's going to be a defensive end, but he did play tight end. And so, you know, we joked about maybe he can get a couple interceptions there at the defensive end position. But he's another guy that committed today, committed during the press conference. So Notre Dame was excited to get him.
All right, and then moving on to the defensive backfield. Safety, Isaiah Robertson, 6'3", 190 pounds, from Naperville, Illinois. So a kid nearby. 4 stars.
He's actually listed as a wide receiver, but he's an early enrollee and will be playing safety. They like him. I mean, he goes for the ball. I mean, he did play defense in high school too, but he goes for the ball and attacks the ball. That's what Todd Light kept mentioning, that he attacks the ball. You know, sometimes guys end up at safety or defensive back or wide receivers do because they can't catch the ball. Well, that's not the case here. So very physical player. And, even though he's 6'3", 190, Todd Light said he plays bigger than his size. So he plays more like a 6'5" guy is what he said. So here's a guy that, could be an interception machine. So, but he is, enrolled at Notre Dame already.
So we haven't talked a lot about the different position. I mean, we did some here and there, but so at safety, Notre Dame, yeah, is pretty thin. They've got Tranquil, they've got Studstill that played most of last year, those two guys. So do you think, and especially with Tranquil, everyone assumes he's going to be that rover, Do you think Robertson can compete? And maybe now would be a time to maybe talk about maybe some of those position changes.
Well, we got...
Or should we finish the defensive
backs? We got two
first?
More guys. We okay. got two more guys that committed total. So
all right. Jordan Genmark, Heath, San Diego, California, 6'2", 205. Another safety.
This was a guy that just committed, three-star guy that just committed this last week. And Notre Dame needed another safety in this class. He had been committed to Cal, but he decommitted from there. Obviously, a coaching change out there. Decommitted from Cal, came to Notre Dame. And we had talked about it on one of the earlier podcasts, but he had been at Notre Dame a couple years ago at their quarterback camp. So at first, he wanted to play quarterback, but he obviously ended up at safety. One thing about him, Brian Polian mentioned when he was talking about special teams, he said this is one guy that he'd want covering kickoffs. So I don't know. Maybe I'm not sure they want to use him as a true freshman, but he's very athletic, and Polian's definitely keeping an eye on him to use him on special teams as well.
And Elko said that he fits into their defense what they want to do, so they like this.
That's what helped convince him to come to Notre Dame is he heard from Elko and Todd Light how he would fit into their scheme, and he liked what he heard, and so he committed to Notre Dame.
All right, and then we've got our kicker, Jonathan Dewier, and he committed also just a few days ago. Polian talked about how he, last year, you know, there was a lot of times when Notre Dame just didn't quite get it into the end zone for a touchback, and so he's going to be competing at kickoff, and especially it's also an insurance policy, which we had kind of talked about it for Justin Yoon, which he will not be having surgery this summer, but he did have some nicks and dings.
Brian
this
Kelly
past
said
year.
He was overworked. I mean, they overloaded him last year. So that'll definitely help Jonathan's case as far as coming and competing for kickoffs.
And just keep in mind, I remember when Tyler Newsome came in as a freshman, I think we all kind of assumed that, he could possibly come in and take over or compete with punting duties, and it did not happen as a freshman.
I think it took him a little longer than it does most guys. I mean, you saw Justin Yoon come in and compete right away.
So just because, I mean, it's kind of, I mean, that is definitely available. There would be a spot for him. He's still going to have to come in and compete.
Yeah, but he's 6'3", 180 pounds. When he was here on one of his visits, and one of the strength coaches didn't know who he was and asked if he was a wide receiver.
Which probably, made him feel pretty good.
And he did flip from Maryland. He had been committed to Maryland, and when Notre Dame offered, he just couldn't turn it down. So he did have four offers. One of them was Clemson, so the national championship team wanted him as well. But that rounds out, I mean, that's all the guys. Notre Dame ended up with 21 commits. So
every year, I think Notre Dame fans freak out, and then it ends up kind of being okay.
Yeah, so don't jinx it.
Let's talk a little bit about the position changes, and I guess let's start on the defensive backfield.
Well, yeah, some of the position changes that were mentioned today. Ashton White and
Coleman.
Nick Coleman. Will probably be switching to safety. So that instantly adds depth to the safety position. They do need that depth. And there's been talk about those guys moving, at least Ashton White. And then as far as the safeties that they have, studs still have been playing the free safety position. And then, but they will be switching. I mean, Todd Light said that he thinks Studstill will probably move to the strong safety, and Jalen Elliott will be the free safety. And then they mentioned DJ Morgan and Spencer Perry, and obviously Drew Tranquil would be more the rovers, which makes sense because DJ Morgan and Spencer Perry, even when they were recruited, there was talk about them maybe ending up as linebackers eventually, and it seems like those tweeners, linebacker safeties, end up at the rover position. That's who they're looking for. So that I'm guessing the rover position would be Tranquil as a starter and then Morgan and Perry as his backups.
And as far as who coaches those, they will be with the linebackers a lot of the time, but they will also have their own graduate assistant will also kind of be in charge of that rover spot to help coach that.
And then as far as the cornerback, Nick Watkins and Dante Vaughn would be the boundary cornerbacks, and then Julian Love, Troy Pride, and Sean Crawford would be the field on the field side. So that could all change. I mean, the coaches kept mentioning this is what they're thinking, but with these all these new coaches coming in, it's all been on film. I mean, they've just been watching film, and so this could very likely be the depth chart. I mean, going into spring practice, this is what we might see, but a lot of that could change, and I'm guessing it will before fall camp. This summer, there'll probably be more position switches just because they're trying to figure out what guys they have and where they best fit their, especially on the defense. I mean, the offense, obviously, it doesn't have as much question, but I guess on the offense, the other positions they mentioned, Chase Claypool will be staying at wide receiver. That was thrown out there because some people talked to him about maybe moving to defense or even as a tight end. Some people wanted him on defense, but Del Alexander said he's a wide receiver. So he probably came and made sure that he would stay there. So the other two guys I think of as far as what's happened with them, Hunter Bibben is coming back for a fifth year, offensive lineman. And then Jacob Matuska. We'll be at Notre Dame. We'll get his degree, but he is retiring from football. He's done with football. He's been playing tight end. So I think those were all mentioned today. I'm sure there'll be a lot more of this as time goes on, as this staff figures it out.
Uncle was asked what the game plan is, what's the order of action, and for right now for this spring, and basically he said put together a depth chart and figure out where the kids are going to be playing, which is kind of what they've done. And then if they need to, move kids around to a spot where they can do what they do best or where they can be most effective. And that seems what Elko has been very good at doing is finding places for kids to play. He was asked why he is such a good teacher. And he said, being passionate about, and I'm paraphrasing, but being passionate about your philosophy or what you're teaching, and then also being consistent and then setting achievable goals. And Clark Lee was asked, how do you, he mentioned about getting his linebackers to play fast. And by the way, Niles Morgan, fans should love him, and I think most fans do, but Clark Lee said he's been knocking down the door whenever Clark Lee is around. He's been out recruiting a lot, but whenever he's around, he's been knocking down his door to talk football. Niles Morgan is very engaged right now, which is great. We want him to be. Back to how do you get your guys to play fast? And he said it's two things. One is physically teaching them fundamentals, how to move efficiently. So whether it's changing directions or turning, how to do it efficiently without wasted motion or time. And then also letting them know what their responsibilities are. And so if they have to think, well, that slows you down. So it's common sense, but just hearing him say that is good. All right. I figured we'd have more to talk about, but maybe that is everything.
It's been a long day trying to keep track of it. I'm in favor of making this a holiday because everything starts in the morning. It starts at 7 o'clock, and then it goes on. I mean, obviously, we're on the East Coast, which makes it nice. I mean, if you're on the West Coast, you're kind of screwed. But and with all the commitments, I mean, if you're a college football fan, I saw one tweet today. It said that he's probably not going to get a lot of work done today because there's a lot of live feeds. Schools are, talking about the recruits as they, as their letters come in, coaches, even the media is there. There's just a lot of things happening.
And definitely, if you want to just hear some of what the coaches are saying. There are a lot of interviews over on either the app, WatchND, or over on their Notre Dame's YouTube channel, which I believe is just called WatchND TV, or just search for WatchND and you'll find the channel. But that's all we've got. So next week, it seems there's always something to talk about, so maybe we'll get more clarification maybe on some of the position changes that are happening.
Well, we can give you – there's already – now we move on to 2018 recruiting. Brian Kelly – I mean, they were talking with 2018 recruits today. Today, you know, there's not much more they can do. It's just sit back and let it unfold. So there's already a couple guys that are committed to 2018. I can kind of give you a schedule as far as the camps and stuff, what's happening, just kind of so you know what's happening the next year.
Sure. Sounds good. All right. Thank you guys for listening. If you enjoy this podcast, please head on over to iTunes and leave us a review, and head on over to the forums, forums.irishsportstalk.net. We're over there chatting, asking questions, and discussing Notre Dame football.
We'll give a Solon a shout out. We had a little prediction contest as far as how many recruits Notre Dame would end up with, how many more they would add.
This was when it was
2 weeks ago.
It was when it was at 15.
And he had picked 6. He was right. So I had gone on the podcast, I had said 3, and then on there I went with 4. So, but in that case, I was glad to be wrong because it was better than I'd expected. But the one thing I will say is I hope Notre Dame is learning a couple things. Maybe with all these recruiters on the staff, even last year, I hate this last-minute scramble to try to build relations.
This was a little bit different.
New staff.
It was different, and I agree that they can do better, and they should do better. I want them to do better. But for Notre Dame to get back to winning, I think what's been missing is consistent development of the players, and of they didn't know what on defense they didn't know what they were doing under Brian Van Gorder.
And one thing that was interesting, Brian Kelly mentioned today that in these last couple of weeks on the weekends when there's visitors, Jack Swarbrick made sure that he took time to talk with the recruits and meet them. And I didn't actually check into it, but Brian Kelly didn't think that there's a lot of other athletic directors at schools that would be doing that thing. Maybe it's because Brian Kelly should be more involved.
Has there been any more ads about the starting over and fire Kelly and fire Swarbrick and all that? Has there been any more of that?
No, not that I know of. I think it's finally died down with all the change. I think Brian Kelly is doing the right things, and
yeah, but
he's made enough changes that I think fans are a little more accepting of the. He's still got some negative people out there, but it's still football. I mean, it's still Notre Dame football. There's a lot to get excited about, and I think this year, for sure.
All right. Thank you guys for listening. And until next time, go Irish.
Go Irish.